It was 2012 and I was at the peak of my Himalayan mountain trekking obsession phase. Every break I got, I could take, I could afford, I was running off to the mountains. One particular bucket list place was Ladakh, a cold mountain desert. Nothing particularly striking, but something extremely magnetic. A vast expanse of brown, barely any green, and a striking blue sky in contrast. The places where there's snowfall, it looked like sugar dust, icing on a chocolate cake. I had to go. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Prana Cafe, where we are talking all things environment and sustainability. I'm trying to break down topics, see how it's relevant for us, make you aware of what's going on, and perhaps give you actionable items that are doable so we make our planet more livable for all of us. Let's dive right into this episode of Prana Cafe. So I was telling you about that time I went to Ladakh and what has become a core memory. And how is it relevant today? Why am I talking about it? I've come across this one trek called the Chadar Lake Trek. Some of you must have heard of it. Very few must have been crazy enough to have done it. There's a river Zanskar in Ladakh, which freezes in winter. And Chadar, which means blanket. The river looks like a frozen blanket. And the trek is insane. It's a 50-ish kilometers walk on a frozen river. Not along the river, not near it, but on it. I mean, you must have seen ice skating, the frozen lakes in US, Canada, Europe, one of these places. But that's short duration activity. This was more like a 10-day walk in a gorge, mountains on either side. And we are in the valley, walking on the frozen river and camping on the riverbed. Now, if you're in a comfortable home with central heating, no amount of cold outside would be a problem. But here, we are exposed to the raw, wild nature. Winds howling at night. And we are in the tent, minus 10, minus 20 degrees centigrade. I don't know, God knows how cold it was each day and night. But there is a peace and grounding in this discomfort. Being one with nature and being in alignment that no materialistic comfort can bring. Now that's a core memory. And since then, Ladakh has a special place in my heart. Oh, I'll have to mention this. So I needed at least a week's leave from work to be able to go on this trek. So while I was trying to convince my manager of 1,000 reasons why it's absolutely essential and necessary for me to go on this trek right then, I told her how climate change is a reality and the glaciers are melting and how the river might not freeze again. So the Chadar trek might not happen again. I should have chosen my words carefully because over the next few months, rapid construction was happening on the mountains next to the river. Boulders were being blasted, roads were being laid, and this led to the river actually not being frozen and a hiatus on the Chadar trek for the next few years after that. I mean, it's just extremely sad. As you know, this podcast is about environment and sustainability, but that's never a standalone topic and it's usually influenced by history, geography, politics and constitution while understanding climate change. And that's because if you move away from the surface level of melting glaciers or sea level rise, you tend to be more and more mindful about how every aspect of a region, right from geopolitics or country invasions or local tribal elections, all of these things seal the deal for our environment and whether or not we take climate action. Say, in this case, we are talking about Ladakh. Now, as you all know, since independence, Ladakh has been a part of Jammu and Kashmir, which itself had a special status under Article 370. But if you remember in 2019, when the special status of Jammu and Kashmir was revoked by the parliament and the state was bifurcated into two union territories, one is Jammu and Kashmir and the second one was Ladakh. Ladakh wasn't even going to have a legislative assembly, that means they can't form their own rules or laws. That's one thing. And secondly, Ladakh predominantly has a tribal population, more than 97%. So it has a distinct culture and heritage, which needs preservation. And in September 2019, just a little after the special status was revoked, the National Commission for Scheduled Tribes said, why don't we include Ladakh in the 6th schedule? It was just a recommendation. And in the 3+ years of removing this special status, like from 2019 up till now, civil society groups in Ladakh have been demanding protection of land, resources, employment. Basically, their fear is if big businesses and conglomerates, if they come and take away the lands and jobs from the local people, they will be in a very, very poor state. So what's the 6th schedule? The 6th schedule is under Article 244 of the Indian Constitution, which provides for the formulation of autonomous administrative divisions so that a place like Ladakh, if suppose it is in the 6th schedule, they can make their own laws, rules, regulations with regard to land, forest, water, agriculture, basically lots of things. Right now, the 6th schedule, it only mentions 4 northeastern states, Assam, Meghalaya, Mizoram and Tripura, which obviously doesn't include Ladakh. So there is a contention about it. Now coming to 2023, the government realized that people in Ladakh are very unhappy. They don't have representation. They are not able to make decisions or their laws and rules. So earlier this year, the MHA, the Ministry of Home Affairs, they notified that there'll be a high-powered committee for the Union Territory of Ladakh. And what will they do? They ensure protection of land and employment. Now, when you're unsure about what is the next action to take, the first step is to set up a committee and then decide on the possible action. Anyway, this 17-member committee that's headed by the Ministry of State for Home included Ladakh Lieutenant Governor, members from lots of regional organizations. But according to a few members of this very committee, the MHA's order is vague. There is no clarity. What will the committee do? Who is going to make the decision? And if Ladakh will be included in the 6th schedule or not? But on the other hand, what the government says is the constitution is very clear. 6th schedule is only for the northeastern states. But for tribal areas in the rest of the country, there is the 5th schedule. So according to the Ministry of Home Affairs, Ladakh's inclusion in the 6th schedule, it is not possible. There is a reservation for scheduled tribes and there is sufficient funds which are being provided to Ladakh to meet its overall development requirements. Now, both sides have some points which are valid, some points which are contested, some points which are not environment friendly. So who gets to win and who is going to suffer, and is nature the ultimate sufferer? So to point all of this out, something called the climate fast happened, and we are going to talk about that. So the climate fast. So early in January, when the MHA formed the 17-member committee, it was very vague and disappointing, like we discussed. So the Ladakhi people, they decided to once again take matter into their own hands. And on January 21st, Sonam Wangchuk, the popular educator and climate activist, he posted a video on YouTube directly addressing the Prime Minister, saying Ladakh and Himalayas, they are known as the third pole after the North Pole and the South Pole, the Arctic and the Antarctic. So if the region is included in Schedule 6, where they have more autonomy, they can make their own laws and rules, they'll be better be able to safeguard the environment, the glaciers in this ecologically fragile region. And of course, the rights of indigenous people who are actually better protectors of nature. And he went on a 5-day climate fast. It started on Republic Day. And why was he doing it? It is for Ladakh's glaciers. It is for the 6th schedule. And it is said that this is one of the most difficult fasts that anybody has gone through, because he did this in Khardungla Pass, which is at a height of 18,000 feet in a temperature of minus 40 degrees Celsius outside. So why was he doing this fast? To highlight that glaciers are the lifeline for the people of Ladakh, the ones surrounded by highways or human activities like tourism, commerce, industries. They are melting much, much faster than the glaciers, which are far away from human interference and an environmental catastrophe. It is inevitable, because if the disastrous mining and unplanned development is going on and there is carelessness, and Ladakh is refrained from getting the required protection from industrial exploitation, the glaciers in the cold desert would actually become extinct. And that would create a significant problem for the country. And it's just not about the politics, right? Sonam Wangchuk also said that people should be equally concerned about climate change. It is not something that is done just by the politicians or just by an educator or just by the rules, but people are also an equal part of it. I mean, with the issues of water scarcity coming up as glaciers melt, there's a threat to livelihood for every single person. So hearing it directly from the people of Ladakh, what do they want? If there's a problem in your house, only people living in your house would have the full understanding of the situation, right? Its impact, repercussions, how you want to deal with it, etc. Sure, an external expert, a friend might give you suggestions, but it's people who live and be there every day. They are the best judges to decide what can and cannot be done. Similarly, any decision of progress or development without consultation and consensus of the people of Ladakh, it's misguided. And the people of Ladakh don't want the Union Territory to be opened up for mining and industrial activities. And the reason they want Ladakh to be included in the 6th schedule is to have access to several other measures to safeguard the ecosystem. So it's about the indigenous people, the environment, which is all fragile, which is unique, which is just very, very important to that place and the protection of it. Now, this news has been moved away from the main pages, from primetime television, but it's still very much a reality, and there are many independent voices giving support and still hoping we can bring about a positive change. And now, since you know what's happening, you could show your support too. Have conversations around it, become more aware of the entire issue, make more people aware, engage in constructive ways, because after all, it's our home, right? Our country, and obviously our planet that's at stake. All right, until next time, where I bring another episode about environment and sustainability and find meaningful ways to engage with it. Stay safe, stay sustainable. You could listen to this episode of Prana Cafe on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever else you listen to your podcast. I'm active across all social media channels as Prithyusha, CFA18. If you want to reach out to me about anything, take care and lots of love.